Welcome back to In the Moment. I'm Lori Walsh. Kirk Zimmer is Executive Vice President of the Sanford Health Plan. He joins us now. We're broadcasting live from the SDPB studios at the University of Sioux Falls. He's here with me in the studio to discuss how Sanford, or then Sioux Valley, I guess, got involved in the health insurance business in the first place, how the Affordable Care Act has changed those dynamics, and what they're looking forward in the future. Welcome, Kirk Zimmer.
Thank you.
Did I say that you were executive vice president? I did. All right. Let's get started and take me back. Let's look at the history a little bit first and talk about how Sanford, or I'm sure then Sioux Valley, got into health insurance in the first place.
Well, first of all, Sanford Health Plan was started in 1997. And I think the whole direction that at that time Sioux Valley was going, they were in a growth mode. Years away from merger activity, and I think there was a lot of foresight on their part to think about the importance of integration, and that the future for health plans was going to be in integration. And basically that means physicians, hospitals, and health plans all combine into a single entity, which the thought is we lower costs, we increase quality, we make the
experience for customers better. And the health plan is very key to that integrated model. So I think Kelby at the time and the board had been talking about the need to do that, and pulled the trigger in 1997 and grew really quickly. Put the Sanford employees on, and at that time there were about 7,000 employees. So that was the initial bodies in the health plan. And then first group was written later in that year in 1997, and there's been from those roots, today we have about 180,000 members in five states. So a very well thought out approach to why we needed to be in the market, how we got there, and what was the purpose. And then we've experienced some pretty exponential growth in the years since.
Was there resistance or obstacles at the time? Was it a new sort of model that people said, wait a minute, this isn't the role that we should be playing? Or was it all sort of an inevitable progression?
I think it was more of an inevitable move because all the elements were there. The physicians were there. Sioux Valley was there from a hospital perspective. And really all that was needed was the health plan. So you didn't have to look around too far to see that integration was really permeating the health insurance markets on a national basis. There wasn't really anything in Sioux Falls or in the Dakotas at that time that you would call integrated health plan. And I think that's why I said I think there was some great foresight on our leaders at that time to realize that that was the model of the future, and that was what was going to really work to lower costs and increase quality.
Was it based on some other national model or a model in another state? Or did you find you really had to start from scratch and create what you wanted it to be in South Dakota?
No, it wasn't an unusual model. In fact, I think where Kelby came from, they had some integration when he was down in Joplin, Missouri.
And Kelby Krabenhoff, who is the CEO of Sanford.
Right? Yeah, okay. And really moved us into that integrated world. But you didn't have to look around. You know, certainly the smaller entities or the health insurance plans that weren't integrated, they didn't have their own physicians. They didn't have their own hospitals. They were simply an insurance company. That those were the companies that were going to struggle in the future. But you could see examples of integrated healthcare from coast to coast, and that's grown ever since.
Did you have to compete against those sort of other insurance providers back when there were so many providing care in the state? Was there a business model that looked at that?
I think all the carriers in our state were a competition.
Sure.
You know, the Blues had been here since the 50s, and Avera had started a health plan at the same time, and Dakota Care started up in the mid 80s. So the competition was there. It wasn't a competition based around who had the best integrated system. I think we led the market with the charge to integration, and we're still working on that today. But I wouldn't say that our competitors in our states that we're in are all integrated models. Some of them are, especially over in Minnesota. That's kind of where a lot of HMOs started over there in the 80s. So many of their plans in the Twin Cities area are more advanced than what you see out in the Dakotas in a lot of cases.
So let's go back to the Affordable Care Act and how that conversation really changed what you were doing and where you had to go.
Well, first of all, you know, the Affordable Care Act passed in 2010, so we're several years into that now. And it's had some dramatic changes, positive and negative, I think, for South Dakota as well as the nation. It was the first experiment where the business of health insurance was delegated or maybe a better way to say it is in where the federal government was involved in it. Supervision of insurance, health insurance companies has always been the idea of the states. And so by passing a law like this, it brought commercial insurance and individual insurance into the same realm as Medicare and Medicaid that were already government programs. So that in itself laid the groundwork for some pretty monumental change in all states because of what the federal government was bringing forward and their override authority on many of the things that were being done in the states. But, you know, positive and negative, when you look at how that's affected the South Dakota insurance market, 22 million more people are insured today that weren't insured, you know, when that started. And that's, whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, it's a big thing. And that expanded Medicaid as well in many states, especially those that chose to do Medicaid expansion. For the first time, the federal government really got involved in funding something other than traditional Medicaid, and that was a positive. Many more people are covered now under Medicaid as well. So a lot of things that happened that changed the environment. You're still out there selling insurance. It's still an insurance game, but you have a lot more rules. You've got double approvals that you need from the state insurance departments and then the feds. But at the end of the day, it's about covering people. It's providing quality care. And I think, you know, for the most part, the ACA has done that.
We hear a lot about the drop of number of providers on the exchange from, you know, as many as 17 to just a couple. Sanford is on the exchange. People can go on the exchange and sign up for. Why stay? And what are the challenges of staying? And why do you think those others sort of abandoned the model?
Well, one thing I can say from Sanford's perspective is it goes back to that integrated model. And so for us to be on the exchange and trying to sell our product to customers there, we're looking for insured members, but we're also looking for people to come to our facilities and get their care. And us being on the exchange all these years has served to do that. Many of the companies that have the bigger problems are those that aren't integrated models, and so they don't have that secondary idea of why they should be on the exchange. Or they might be insurance companies that are provider groups, for example, that didn't know anything about the insurance game and decided that the ACA was a good time, the passage of the ACA was a good time to get into the health insurance business. Many of them found that couldn't be more,
right.
From the truth. Health insurance was a highly regulated, complicated business to begin with, and with the passage of the ACA, that certainly got worse. So it's no game for the lighthearted. And the carriers that you see dropping out, many of them are experiencing those kind of problems. It's just a very technical, high capital, high risk type of business.
So what sorts of things as the, with the election of President Donald Trump and the new GOP in Congress and efforts to repeal and replace or fix the American ACA, Affordable Care Act, thanks. What are you watching for? What are the things that you've been really paying close attention to that you think maybe need to be fixed or that you're concerned that lawmakers need to understand the ramifications and how that might flow down to South Dakota and the states that you have service in?
Well, first let me say, it could be a big day today with Senator McCain being back in Washington that the GOP might be able to get a vote done. His presence there, I think they're counting on that having some movement in the market. But the Republicans really need to retain almost the entire Senate population in order to change anything. But if they get enough votes, if they bring something to vote and talk about commencing debate on a bill, then we're going to start a new stage of debate and amendments and to try and find a bill that could potentially be passed. That's one option. Another option is to repeal now and replace later. And there was a bill or some ideas going around about leaving it sit for repeal what we have now, but don't replace it for 2 years and let the markets do something different in between. That's distasteful, I think, for not only the people who are covered by that, by the exchange right now, but even the insurance companies that are going to have to deal with it to kind of be in limbo for a couple years. So there's a few options. Ted Cruz has a interesting amendment, I think, in that where he would allow insurance companies to sell policies that aren't ACA approved as long as you have at least one other policy in that same market that is. So I think they're trying to open up opportunities for insurance companies to do something different. But even, every one of them, that's why we can't get any consensus, is because everybody thinks their amendment is a little different.
Right.
And we just haven't got any consensus.
When people say, let the market sort it out, you're the market then, right? Mm-hmm. So what does that mean from your perspective?
Well, I think when you heard a few days ago about just, let the thing die, or whatever the president's comments were at those times, it's a little scary for the people who are being covered by that at the time. It comes from comments, whether you believe them or not, or feel they're right or wrong, that there is major problems with the ACA, and left to its own vices, it will collapse. And then somebody just needs to come behind that and pick up the pieces. That's the thought process there. I don't know that that's a great idea, either for the patients that are relying or members that are relying on that coverage right now, or anybody that's administering it. It puts, if that would happen, it puts insurance companies in a very difficult position too. Should they stay in the exchange? Is there even going to be an exchange? Is that what collapse means? Is that there isn't going to be anything? There's a lot of limbo there.
So what Senator John Thune said to me this morning, and we're going to play that conversation in its entirety at noon, but one of the things he closed with is the notion that this needs to be fixed now. It's in a death spiral, and he equated it specifically to premium rates are going to, increase exponentially, or he didn't say that. He had numbers. Mm-hmm. But is that going to happen if nothing is done, if the Congress makes no change to the Affordable Care Act as it stands right now? Do you anticipate that sort of death spiral in the near future, where people who are covered in South Dakota by Sanford Health Plan are going to see their premiums go through the roof?
Well, you left me out by saying in the near term, because in the near term, I don't think so. I mean, from Sanford's perspective, certainly the rates that we filed for the upcoming January 18 year are much lower than where they were even the year before. And it remains to be seen what our competition would be. But I think what we've seen in the Dakotas here, and particularly in Minnesota and North Dakota, our rates have been moderated dramatically from where they were. Now, we'll see who signs up for coverage this year. We'll see how much medical care is used. Our young folks enrolling on the plans, like we hope they would, to counter the claims of an older population and keep the insurance pool together. Those are the things that we'd have to watch for, and then make a decision somewhere down the line, probably in a year from now. Every year that goes by, we've got a clearer and clearer picture, and the market stabilizes a little more than it did the year before. But it was such a monumental turn when it started that it took, we knew it would take several years to stabilize.
So what's your message to the young people that you want? Go ahead and give your sales pitch. If I'm young and I'm healthy, I don't need it. It's expensive. I'm irritated about the mandate, for example. But what's your sales pitch to the healthier people that you really want to get on the plan or to get health coverage?
Well, there's always care that someone's going to need. I don't care what age you are. You're going to use less care on average if you're a younger person than an older person. But insurance is meant for catastrophic and major injuries and surgeries and things like that too. So I wouldn't buy my insurance based on simply on my annual exam and that amount of coverage. And you need to be insured, just like you insure your car, just like you insure your house. It's an investment in yourself, and that's why you need to buy it.
All right. What happens if a repeal of the Affordable Care Act, Republicans vote on that, but they don't replace it yet. They take their time to replace it. Then all these people are, there's no mandate anymore. They've talked about keeping the pre-existing condition clause. Is there a different kind of collapse here if something is repealed without an effective replacement from Republicans right now?
Well, if you repeal, if your definition of repeal is the ACA goes away, period, then there isn't anything there. Then we're back to the pre-ACA days. So that really is putting people in limbo by saying that. What I think is probably more likely if anything passes is that they can get to a point where we're making substantive changes, but we're keeping coverage in place. We're keeping the ACA in place and making changes to it, I think, is the most rational approach that people are looking at.
All right. What needs to be changed the most?
I think more incentives to get, as you were talking about earlier, the younger folks into the plans. Make sure that insurance companies that are incurring losses to try and stay in these in these exchanges and provide the coverage that the federal government wants in every state. We need protection from high claims years to get us to stay in the market because, you know, at the end of the day, if you lose enough money, any carrier's got to look at themselves every year and say, do I still want to be in this business?
Mm-hmm. Kirk Zimmer is the Executive Vice President of the Sanford Health Plan. So much more to talk about, so hopefully you'll come back as this all sort of plays out. But thank you so much for all the background today, and
welcome.
Appreciate your time.